Hello, everybody. This is Pastor Mike, and I'm online, and I'm live with you, coming to you from our top-secret broadcasting bunker here at Area 52, right next to Area 51, where apparently Hillary Clinton and all of her 33,000 missing emails have not yet detected the secret location of our top-secret broadcasting bunker. Only those of you, those select few who have been allowed to visit here, actually know where the place is, and you're sworn to secrecy. Good to be with you today. I feel much better than I did on Tiwi's Day, and I guess you could call it just sort of a call from within. And I felt bad for it, but I'll tell you it's something that God did. I had to cut off the live broadcast. There was just no way around it. And I was in my office, just kind of laid back, taking a little snooze, and I just didn't feel good. My son Matthew was here, and he was just kind of hanging out and kind of chilling. And he came in my office, and he said, "Dad, there's somebody outside in the parking lot wants to see you." And I said, "Who is it? Is it the FBI? Is it CIA? Is it NSA? Is it Interpol? Who is it?" "Just some guy wants to talk to you." I said, "Well, let him in." As some of you know, we keep our doors locked around here. We just don't let everybody just walk in. We've had people walk in that were dangerous. So we just don't do that. But anyway, this man came in. And he was traveling from one place to another. That's normally what you do when you travel. Okay? But he was going quite a distance, and I'm not going to give all the details, but he realized when he got to Missouri that the highway that he was on was just not too far away from Festus, Missouri. And so he said, "You know what? I'm going to go see Pastor Mike." And he had some very, very serious issues on his heart. And it was my joy, and I'm not kidding you. I had a wonderful time with this young man, just letting him talk, letting him just kind of tell about the road of life that he has been on. And, that place in the Bible where Jesus gives the parable about a man who has a visitor coming to him, and the visitor's on a long journey. And he's asking his friend for lodging for the night and for bread. And his friend says, "I don't have any bread." And so he goes to his neighbor, begins to knock on the door, and asks his neighbor, "I've got a friend who's on a long journey. Will you rise and give us bread?" And his neighbor did. And that whole story, that parable, is about Jesus, who, when these people come to me, and when you're sitting here watching Pastor Mike online, or you're at our church service, so you're watching us online, you're watching a Watchman video or whatever it is, or I'm preaching a revival, I'm telling you, I have nothing to give people. There's nothing that I can give you that will sustain you through the storms of life and through the long journey of life that you're on. There's not anything the best that I can give you is a great big bowl of Rice Krispies. And if you've ever eaten a bowl of that, as an adult, if you eat a bowl of Rice Krispies in the morning, I promise you at 10:30, your blood sugar is going to crash. You'll need Dr. Pepper at 10, 2, and 4. I don't know if you know those numbers, but that's why they did that. But anyway, I have nothing to give you. And what I was able to give him was just the wisdom of the Word of God. But here's the thing. I'm pretty sure, I wasn't exactly sure what time it was, but had I not left PMO early Tuesday, I may have missed this guy who just dropped in at this certain time. God brought him to me, to us, and there I was in my office, and I probably would not have been in my office at that time. I would have been up here in my rubber room. And God just has a way of doing things like that. And I'm just standing in awe and admiration at the work of God, the Holy Spirit, and how he draws us all together, how he uses us for his will, his glory. And it was just a delight and a joy to visit with him. But here we are today. And my mother called me earlier and she said, you know how warm it's been around here. And yeah, I'm telling you, this is not November here in Missouri. Missouri is one of those Midwestern states where the battle of the North and the South continues on long past 1860. Because we get these fights over what air mass is going to prevail. And so far, I mean, the other day, it was November 1st, and it was like 85 degrees outside here. This is insane. Something's wrong. And yesterday, it was about 83, 84, something like that. And today, a cold front has finally moved in. Another one, pushing the warm air back south where it belongs, bringing in that cool Arctic air. And we want it. I don't think I've ever run my air conditioner into November that I can remember. I don't think we've ever done it. And hopefully, in a week and a half from now, it gets down in the 20s. And I'll tell you why. Because I will be in the woods with a rifle in my hand, looking for a doe or a buck. Doesn't matter to me which one. The first one I see is the one I'm going to shoot. I have to. Some of these guys, oh yeah, I let like 20 pass me by until I found this one buck. And I'm just going, how do you see 21 deer? I'm like, see one. So anyway, I am going deer hunting, people, a week and a half from today. And I hope it's cold and chilly and everything else, because that's kind of when we figure the bucks like to go in rut and the does just kind of like go in their little season. And that's what gets them moving around. And there's like, I don't know how many dead deer laying along the side of the roads now. And I would just assume those deer not be wasted. I would assume they be harvested by hunters. That's the purpose of deer hunting, is to bring the numbers back down. It's control is what it is. So anyway, but my mom calls me and says, you know, it's warm as it has been. I said, yeah, Mom. And she said, as warm as it has been, apparently the hot place, you know, where every, you know, all these poor, bad people are going to go when they die. And I said, yeah. She said, apparently it froze over last night because the Cubs won the World Series. And I just went, did you see that? Did you see that? The Cubs, 1908 was the last World Series that they won. They won the World Series last night, and I mean, everybody, woo! And I told everybody in our church, and I was serious about this. I sent him a text last night. Officer Cubby, you've heard me mention him before. He is a Crystal City police officer, Crystal City and Festus, our twin cities. They have joint jurisdiction, you know, between the two places. If they're chasing a bad guy, they'll chase him into Crystal. They'll chase him into Festus. But Officer Cubby has been a friend of ours in our ministry now for several years. And as you know, he's been battling some issues that have been brain related. They at first thought maybe it was a tumor, and then they thought this. They think now it may be some sort of infection. He was recently in the hospital, and they had to drain a lot of fluid from around his brain. And I told him, I said, Cubby, I'm going to be rooting for the – I can't believe I'm saying this. I'm going to be rooting for the Cubs all the way. I sent him a text last night after we got home from church, and I said, I'm rooting for the Cubs, Cubby. Let's go, Cubs. And he said, thank you, Pastor Mike. This guy even – I mean, they call him Cubby because he's a Cubs fan, been one for years. He named his first daughter. I thought it was a joke. I did. I thought, oh, yeah. I said, it's funny. What's her real name? He named his first daughter Cubette. I'm not making that up. Cubette. And he is a diehard Cubs fan, been living in this area I don't know how long. So all you Chicago people and all you Cubs fans around the world, congratulations. You finally got one. Cardinals have oh, I don't know how many pennants they have, how many World Series rings. Anyway, we'll see how it goes next year, all right? Maybe next year for the Cardinals. All right. Something else on my mind. Dave Bradley called me. Dave and I are good friends. He goes through the same thing that I go through because of the ministry that he has. And I love Dave. And I'll tell you, he can do what I cannot do. And I just, it's just, you wouldn't believe, as extroverted as I am here in my padded cell, when I get around people I don't know, I am very, very shy, very introverted. You wouldn't believe it, but I am. And I think that goes back to childhood. Freud would say I wasn't, you know, potty trained right or something like that. But anyway, just very introverted. But he can go to the Vatican and doesn't have a problem in the world walking up to these Roman Catholics who are there to worship Mary and pray to idols and do whatever the Pope tells them to do and give them gospel tracts. And he gets beat up. No, not by Italians. He gets beat up by devils, by spirits. He gets it. I get it. Sometimes I'll preach sermons or teach lessons here that I just know God got all in it. And there's been times when I come down from the pulpit and just devils just all over me. And he has that going on in his life. Well, he's considering going to the Vatican for Christmas. He's praying about it. He is asking me to ask all y'all to help him pray about this thing and to see how God leads and how God provides. And so just write Dave Bradley down on a little piece of paper or the Bethel prayer list that we have at PastorMikeHoggard.com. And just remember to pray for him that God would lead him on whether or not he's supposed to go to the Vatican at Christmas. And all of these dates, Christmas and Easter and sainting Saint Mother Teresa, he goes out there because he knows there's going to be a million people out there from all over the world, and he takes chick tracts in various languages out there and hands them out to people. And it's just an incredible ministry. Yeah, he never gets to see the fruit of his labor. He never gets to see that. No one's ever chased him down and said, hey, boy, come on over here, boy. I'm going to tell you something. This gospel tract you gave me, I got saved last night. Nobody's ever said that to him. So it can be a little bit discouraging. So you just pray that God would lead him, and God would, if it's like this when I go to Kenya. If God wants me in Kenya, I'm in Kenya. If God doesn't want me there, and that happened one year. We were fixing at the airport. We were getting we had our tickets printed out, and we were showing our passports, and they said, you can't go. Your grandkids' passports are going to expire, and they can't go. So we got stuck. We didn't go. That was 2015, last year. So, I mean, I know how it works. So if God wants him to go, he'll be in the Vatican. If not, he'll be at home with his wife and family, and you just pray for them. All right. Now, let's get to some serious business here. People have been sending me this. You guys, you watchers out there, I appreciate the work that y'all do. You help make this thing easy for me. God does the other part of it, making it easy for the man of God. You guys see these things, you send them to me, I'm the one with the big mouth, and I'm just going to just blow it all and tell everybody what's going on, all right? But a lot of you were noticing and saw that there is a new sort of initiative going on. They're wanting to start a new nation, a nation that is high above everybody else. It's a nation where people from all walks of life who speak all different languages and have all different religions and all different political backgrounds, it's a nation where they're all going to come together and there's going to be peace and harmony, and there's not going to be any wars, and there's not going to be any of the evils that are going on down here on this lowly planet. The name of the nation that was chosen is called Asgardia. Cue the music. If you know anything about what this represents, you know from whence it cometh. You know where it comes from. What they want to do is they want to build a permanent space station that would be a station in space, for those of you who went to school in California, right? They want to build a permanent space station big enough to house, I don't know how many people. And they're already, I mean, these people are, this is not some online kooky thing. These people are serious about this. They want to build this nation up in space, have these people fly up there and live in space in a nation that is high above a nation and a city. Think about it. A nation and city that is high above everybody else, and it's going to be this utopia. This world where everything is in a new world. It's going to be different than every other place in the world. And here's its big downfall. They think that if they build this city on high, orbiting the planet up in space, and bring a select group of people up to it, their thinking is that they will be able to surpass human vices, human avarice, human competition, that they will be able to build this utopian dream world where everybody gets along and it's peace and harmony, and everybody's singing in the choir, and everybody's just got a smile on their face all the time, and all of the problems of Earth are going to be done away with. That's what they think is going to happen. Here's the problem. The problem with having a city like this up in the stars, high above everybody else, the only problem that they have that's going to cause it to go bad is that they're going to have humans in it. They would be better off building this massive city up in the sky and putting like cats up there and let the cats have the city, because at least then there will be no stealing, there will be no murder, there will be no rape, there will be no wars started. Every cat will get a couch and a room for them to own their own domain. And it could be like Cat World. And all the cats would live in joy and harmony and peace and sleep and flipping their tails up and down every now and then and staring at another cat as it goes by saying, keep on moving. This is my couch. Get away from here. And that's it. If they want a city where perfect peace and harmony reigns, the last thing you do is put humans in it. There is this, I mean, the biggest problem, and there's several things with this. If you're looking and you know symbols, if you're looking at this thing like I'm looking at it, I'm going, okay, yeah, there's music like, you know, da-da-da, all over this thing. Asgardia, and there's hexagrams, and there's like the Eye of Ra there, and all this stuff. But the biggest problem to me with this concept is it's a denial of human nature. And I've seen all these movies like The Day the Earth Stood Still and what was it? Interstellar, where, you know, it's this idea that, you know, in The Day the Earth Stood Still, Kla'atu, comes down here and he tells everybody, yeah, we're going to basically wipe everybody off the face of the earth because you people are evil and we're just going to get rid of you. But they succeed in convincing the aliens that humans are in the process of evolving. And once we evolve to a higher form, then we won't be bad like we are now. I mean, I know we're bad now, but we're going to evolve above that. And so we're not going to be bad anymore. Let me tell you what human evolution is going to do. Human evolution is going to take man's evilness and it's going to compound it by a factor of like 1,000. Because I want you to just kind of pause with me for a minute. We're gonna do a little experiment on imagination. Here's what I want you to do. I want you to imagine that scientists have developed an artificial gene. And with this artificial gene implanted into your body, it then takes over your genome. And it gives you abilities like the ability to become invisible. It gives you the ability to, like Superman, you can see through objects. It gives you the ability to run really, 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 really fast. It gives you the ability to stop time. Now, what would you do with those abilities? And be honest. See what I mean? See what I'm saying? You evolve mankind. You give him the ability to do things that right now he's limited in doing. Man doesn't become better. Man becomes like evil God. He becomes like every evil character in every video game and every sci-fi movie. That's what he becomes. Man does not become more moral and of a higher thought form. Man doesn't do that when he gets the superpowers to become godlike. It only compounds and expands his ability to do more evil. Because wickedness is bound in our hearts. We are exactly what Joel Osteen says the Bible says we are. We are deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. And giving man an elevated status, like, you know, he's going to change. He's going to have a transformation process done. And he's going to have all these genetic powers now and superpowers. And all man's going to do is just become like the devil. That's what's going to happen. And it's a foolish, silly, ridiculous scheme to think that man can transcend his own humanity, rise above himself, and that's going to make everything better. But that's what the world thinks. That's what you hear politicians making speeches about. I believe that man can better himself. I believe that man can rise up above where he is and climb out of the rubble of the ashes of his own destruction. And man can be better than this. And that's what you hear. You hear it on TV shows. You hear it in movies. You hear it in politician speeches. You hear it everywhere. By the way, I'm like counting the days for when Hillary Clinton gets to go to prison, okay? I'm just the clock is ticking. I hope she goes to prison for a very, very, very long time. If she becomes president of the United States, there is no telling the depths that we're going to descend down to as a nation. And no, I don't like some of the things that Donald Trump stands for. What I want is Mike Pence in the White House as vice president or president with a Bible in his hand. That's what I want. It would be refreshing to have someone in the White House who actually believes the word of God and prays. That would be refreshing to me. I mean, who knows what the future is going to bring? We're just a few days away from the most critical election in this world. We're just a few days away from it, and I've already had a pastor friend of mine call me, and he was asking for information about the God, Guns, and Liberty conference that Pastor Reg and I did. I did a Watchman video first called God, Guns, and Liberty, and I just basically laid out a case from the Bible saying God gives you the right to defend your property, your home, your person, your freedoms, your country. God gives you that right. We bear the sword in order to protect things. But anyway, he was wanting that information. I sent him the link to the video. I sent him my PowerPoint that I did on that. And he's going to preach at his church this Sunday down in Arkansas. He's going to preach on why abortion is wrong, why sodomy is wrong, why sodomite marriage is wrong, why promoting Planned Parenthood is wrong, while promoting promiscuity in sex education classes is wrong, and why abortion is wrong, and why we shouldn't let ISIS in our nation, and why we should protect and defend the Second Amendment of the Constitution of the United States of America. And I'm just going, you know what, I may preach that too. I'm going to go to the Lord and see what the Lord wants me to do, but I've got that on my mind, and you just might be hearing that come Sunday. Let's get back to Asgardia. Let's break this down. Where did they get that name? Where did they get these symbols? What about these logos here? What about this Eye of Ra thing? Okay, we're going to break this down, take a look at it. Here is the concept, a space nation. Now, I want you to think of the biblical ramifications of this, but also the prophecies in the Bible. In the Bible, God had something to say about this. Dr. Igor Asherbailey. Igor, come and bring me the potion, Igor. Here's Dr. Igor. Welcome to Asgardia, the first ever space station, a global, unifying, and humanitarian project. The project's concept comprises three parts, and I want you to pay attention to what he's going to say now, philosophical, legal, and scientific. Number one, the project's philosophy starts at selecting the name for this new country, Asgardia. In ancient Norse mythology, Asgard was a city in the skies, the country of the gods. Get the music going. And I want you to think about what he just, open your Bible. I'm going to open up a can of King James on this guy. No, it's not a can of worms. It's a can of whooping is what it is. Genesis chapter 3, can of King James right here. You open it up and it's just like fresh smell of milk and honey. Genesis chapter 3, and the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, hath God said. The attack on God's word still ever present to this day. And I've read some of your emails already today. Some of you said, you know what? We are King James now. And I thank God for that. And let me just throw this at you because I like to say this. Only switch over to the King James if God told you to do it, not if Mike told you to do it. Because if Mike told you to do it and you did it, if Bob comes along a year from now and says, oh, you didn't know that the King James was written all by Freemasons and it was a Jewish plot by the Vatican, and it's like, it has like pagan Masonic symbols in it. You didn't know that? You didn't know that King James was a homosexual? And you didn't know that there's better Bibles? If what I'm telling you is, if Mike can talk you into it, Bob can talk you out of it. All right? if you're reading it, I'm pleased with it. Then let the Word of God do what the Word of God does in your heart and provide for you in the Word of God that biblical evidence that it's right in what it says. All right? I'm tickled that you guys are doing that. You're turning to the Word of God. The attack on the Word of God is ever present and will continue. We must remain diligent, people, to protect and be willing to defend and give an answer to everyone that asketh us of the hope that is in us. And that hope is only assured by the book that we get it from. And if this book is wrong, our hope is misplaced. Andy Stanley said so. Charles Stanley's sons, Andy Stanley, said that if your faith in Christianity and hope is built upon the Bible, what if the Bible turns out to be wrong? Well, it's not wrong. Never was wrong, never will be wrong. But I guess in Stanley's eyes, it is wrong. And so he said, if your faith and your hope is built upon what the Bible says, if the Bible's wrong, then your faith will crash. So what he was endorsing was, don't put your faith in the Bible. Where then do you put it? Should we put it in Andy Stanley? Charles Stanley? Charles Wesley? Charlie Chan? Don't put your hope and your trust in any man, any of them. Your faith should find a resting place, and that is in the Word of God. So the devil says, yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden. I want you to think about a tree, okay? Because I'm going to show you something in a minute about Asgard. Asgard has a tree in it, okay? The woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. Which is not true. You know what Eve represents here in the typology? Eve represents the church that adds to the Word of God and makes it harder than it really is. The Catholic Church will do that. They add all the... Where does it say in the Bible that you can't eat meat on Friday? Where does it say that? And by the way, how is it that a fish is not meat? I don't get that. Fish meat is what you eat. You don't eat the guts out of fish. You eat the fish meat, for crying out loud. Where is that in the Bible? It's not. They added that. They said, you've got to, you can't eat meat on Friday. If you do, you're breaking God's law and you got to go to hell for that. They tell you, you got to pray to Mary, and not just pray to Mary. You got to pray this prayer to Mary. Ave Maria, Mater Dei, ora pro nobis peccatoribus nunc et in hora nostrae, nostrae, amen. You got to pray that to Mary. You got to pray to this saint over here, and it's this saint's day, and you got to commemorate that, and you got to go to Mass. You got to eat the little wafer and drink the alcoholic wine, and you got to do it. God never said that. That's the Catholic Church. That's the Mormon Church. Oh, I can't drink tea and coffee. Tea and coffee's got caffeine. And we all know that God doesn't like caffeine. God is decaffeinated. Where's that in the Bible? Doesn't exist anywhere. Or Christian fundamentalism. Saying that you can't have this and you can't have this and you can't watch that and you can't wear this and you can't be part of this over here and you've got to believe this and you got to do what we tell you to do. Where is that junk in the Bible? Doesn't exist. Man adds it. That's where Eve's problem is. She added to the words of God. While the devil was wanting to take away from the Word of God, she was in the process of adding to it. They were both wrong. Had it been Adam would have said, I'm sorry, Eve, That is not what God said. God said we should not eat of the tree. He didn't say we couldn't touch it. He didn't mention that at all. Verse 4, and the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die. There he is directly contradicting the word of God. And now he's planting in her mind an alternative. A new religion, a new belief system, where you will not surely die. If you go ahead and eat that tree, it won't do what God said it'll do to you. It'll make you free. It's just like an older teenager trying to talk a younger kid in the neighborhood or on the playground into taking a hit off of his joint. Oh, man, this is, oh, no, my mom said I wasn't supposed to do that stuff. They said it was bad. It's not bad. This is good. Try it. This is really good. That's what you got going on here. It's an alternative to what they were told. God's way would have been best for them. And they had not previously considered any alternative. It takes the tempter. And the tempter comes in and offers them an alternative. And this is what Asgardia is. It is an alternative. It's, oh, you don't need to worry about going to heaven. We're going to build our own heaven. And anybody that is a homosexual or an adulterer or a drunkard or a dope smoker or a witch or whatever false word, anybody can be part of this city. See, it's going to be all-inclusive. Ye shall not surely die. For God doth know, verse 5, that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And look at this, look at this. Asgard was a city in the skies, the country of the gods. So what he's building now, if man is going to evolve, if Ray Kurzweil's right, and man is going to evolve into a higher form, he's going to be a god, and as such, he's going to need a new place to live. And that's what Asgardia is all about. It is the realization of man's eternal dream to leave his cradle on earth and expand into the universe. That, my friends, is in your Bible. Asgardia is a fully fledged and independent nation and a future member of the United Nations with all the attributes this status entails, a government and embassies, a flag, a national anthem, an insignia, and so on. The essence of Asgardia is peace in space and the prevention of Earth's conflicts being transferred into space. And let me tell you, Dr. Igor, the moment you put the first human in that city, you have thus transferred the evils of Earth into space. That's all you did was elevate man to do what he does on Earth. Now he's going to do it amongst the stars. Just like the gods do. And that's the concept now. If you think about it, man has this ever-present desire to elevate himself higher and higher and higher. Think about the pyramids. Think about these ancient buildings that were built. They tried to build them as tall as their engineering skills would allow them to build. In the 1800s, New York City, St. Louis, San Francisco, Philadelphia, Pittsburgh, all of these cities all across America, they had these 3- and 4-story buildings built of brick, cement, mortar, plaster, things like that. Wooden beams were used. And they realized that they had run into sort of a little barrier because there's only so high and so high up that you can build a brick building, because after a while you start stacking stories on top of that. The bricks down at the bottom are not designed to carry that kind of load and that kind of weight. And so still to this day, you can go into some of these old cities and you can find the remnants of these buildings left around. Historical societies take them over and whatnot. They're not any more than 3 and 4 stories tall because they could not sustain the weight of adding higher stories to it. And then somebody, I don't know who it was, came up with the concept of erecting a building using steel or iron beams. And those would be able to carry the weight of a much taller and higher building. And they did. And so then that's when you have this building thing going on all over America, and they're putting Americans to work because they're building these buildings higher and higher than they've ever been. I mean, my goodness, the Empire State Building, to be as tall as it was back in the 1930s when it was built, was a modern marvel of technology. There wasn't a building taller than the Empire State Building until the World Trade Towers. Then they were brought down. Now you've got the Freedom Tower, 1,776 feet tall, at the very top of that radio antenna that's on top of that thing, on the Freedom Tower. Then you've got buildings going up in Asia and Qatar and other places that are trying to top that. Man has it in his inherent nature to rise up higher and higher and higher. You see that in Genesis 11. We're going to go there in a little bit. But I want us to look at the symbolism here. Check this out. I'm going to put my finger just an inch away from this button that I play the music with. You're not going to believe. If you looked at Asgard, you didn't get past the Eye of Ra symbol. Did you look at the proposed government of Asgardia? Did you look at that? I saw it on Wikipedia. I went back to the website, and there it was. Let me show you this. Here's the proposed government of Asgardia. Asgardia is a nation of free thinkers. That is a veiled language for pot smokers. Okay, they're all going to come out of Colorado and Washington State. Okay? It's a nation of free thinkers representing humanitarian values, supporting the intellectual and ethical development of all people. Asgardia is governed by a council of 12 ministers. Here we go. Cue the music. When I play that music, I've got a little iPad app, and I know what buttons play what sounds because I have these little icon cues, and this particular soundboard, you can put your own icons. And so the icon that I use for this music is the all-seeing eye and the capstone. Because think of it like this. And I'm kind of getting ahead of myself. I'm going to talk about New Jerusalem for a minute. New Jerusalem is a city built, and it has the foundation stones are named after. It has 12 stones as its foundation, and each stone is named after one of the 12 apostles. You see that? Let me point in the direction there of the picture. You see that? The council of 12 ministers or 12 masters are going to rule over this city. New Jerusalem has 12 stones, has 12 gates, each one with the name of the tribe of Israel. But in those 12 stones, we know that there is a 13th stone. That 13th stone is Jesus Christ. He is the chief cornerstone. He's the one that sets the direction of the angles of that city. That's what the cornerstone does. That's what it represents. It is a tried, it's a true 90-degree angle stone that sets the corner. All you got to do is set the first corner. Once you get the first corner, you can set the other three corners based upon that one cornerstone. If that cornerstone is not true, the rest of the building will not be true. So that cornerstone has to be true. Jesus is not, and I want you to say this, repeat this after me. Jesus is not the capstone. He's not. He is the cornerstone that sets all of the other building square. You got to have that first corner square. Once you get the first corner square, the rest of it will fall into place. He's not the capstone. That's a different God. So you have 12 tribes, the Old Testament. They were the patriarchs, the elders. You have the 12 apostles. They were the heads of the church. The foundation upon which the church was built were the 12 apostles, Jesus Christ being the chief cornerstone. But you also have 12 zodiac. The 12 constellations of the zodiac. Do you remember what the word zodiac means? It means a circle of beasts, a circle of living creatures. Zoa means, or is where we get the word zoo from. It means a circle of beast, living creatures. Manly Hall, Fat Albert Pike, all of these other, Blavatsky wrote about them. These are the stars or the evil angels that rule over the sky. They are the rulers of the darkness of this world. Those who follow astrology, they do exactly what God told the Israelites not to do. Do not worship the stars and serve them. And when you follow astrology, you are serving those stars. You're doing whatever they tell you to do. That's what your astrological thing does. Oh, you were born in Gemini? Well, then tomorrow you're going to do this and you're going to do this. Oh, well, I need to go do that. And these people go do whatever the stars tell them to do. They live by the stars. They're ruled over by them. Oh, well, Pluto is in the house of the dog star. And what that means is that this is going to happen. It's a bunch of nonsense is what it is, but that's what these are spirits. These are angels, evil ones. So when I saw this, I'm just going, you know what? It is an exact opposite of what New Jerusalem in heaven is supposed to be. Here man is rising up to build a city, build a nest among the stars. God already has a city that he has built that will come down from heaven to the earth in the last days. It's a mockery of what God has already planned. And the thing is, God makes the offer for everybody on planet earth to live in the new heaven, the new earth, and be part of that new city, Jerusalem. He makes the offer freely to them. But the problem is, people don't want to give up their sins. They don't want to give up their alcohol, their women chasing. They don't want to give up their stealing, their murders. They don't want to give up having large contributions given by evil nations all over the world to the Clinton Foundation. They don't want to give that stuff up. So they won't. So they choose then an alternative that will allow them to keep all of their sins, all of their vices, all of their avarices, all their lusts. It will allow them to keep that and think that they're going to build their own city, their own version of it. We built this city on rock and roll. That's what they think. That they can build an alternative city to God's New Jerusalem and it'll be better than what God has. It won't work, people. It won't work because it's going to be inhabited by humans who have become gods. They won't be good-natured, pious, holy, reverent gods. They're going to be pure evil. After all, they've had their DNA mingled with fourth kingdom seed. And that's just going to take the evil of those evil angels and compound it into the very seed in the DNA and the very nature of mankind. It is going to be the absolute worst of all the world. And I'll just tell you this. I think that this concept is the precursor to the battle of Armageddon. The final battle between Jesus and 10,000s of his saints, which I believe is you and I, and the beast who has gathered all of his army and all of his people from the four corners of the earth together in the valley of Megiddo. I think this is basically just one of the precursors that we're going to fight God and we're going to win. It's a huge setup is what it is. Asgard. That's what it was named after. The city of the God. If you've watched Thor, you've been indoctrinated into Norse mythology. King Odin is the god who only has one eye. Do you know what that makes him in the Bible? It makes him the idol shepherd. I-D-O-L, shepherd. God said that he dried up his right hand and he put out his right eye. And Odin is the Cyclopean god. He's had his eye put out and he only has one eye. Who does that make him? It makes Odin the Antichrist. That's what it makes him. Asgard was ruled over. It was one of the nine realms. It was the city of the gods or the demigods, half gods, ruled over by a god who had his right eye put out. I'm just going, you're building like the New World Order city of Antichrist is what you're doing. You're setting it up for him, getting everybody to join along, because I guarantee you this sci-fi loving nation that we live in is going to jump on this thing because they're going to think, cool, just think of the video games we'll be able to play up there. That'd be like the awesomest thing in the world. We won't have these Christians telling us that we can't do this and we can't do that. They're going to join in this thing because it's like social media based. We're going to join in on this thing and we're going to be part of it. Oh, you can count me in. They rejected Christ. They rejected Christianity. They rejected God's free offer of salvation. They rejected that, but they're going to choose this in a heartbeat. Asgard, you got to get this. Asgard as a city was built around a tree. And remember what we just learned from Genesis 3. It was built around a tree, and it's called the Axis Mundi, the center of the earth, or it's called the World Tree. The Norse mythological name for it is Yggdrasil. I probably pronounced that wrong. Pardon my French. But it's this sort of like tree of the gods. And Odin, in a manner of which sort of models the concept of a Christ Savior, Odin, the idol shepherd, the false shepherd, hung himself from this tree as a form of sacrificing himself for the good and the betterment of his people. And what you have all throughout mythology is that you have a what they call the dying god concept. Odin did it. Bacchus did it. Dionysus did it. Apollo did it. These gods, Quetzalcoatl did it. Quetzalcoatl was said that he had himself killed on a cross-shaped tree or something like that. But Odin hung himself on the Yggdrasil tree as a form of sacrifice. He was offering his life for the benefit of everybody else. What does the Bible say about that? Cursed is anyone who hangeth from a tree. You have a story in Joshua chapter 10 where Joshua found the five kings. And he took them and he smote them and he slew them and they hanged them on five trees. And they were there till the going down of the sun. They then took them out off the trees, put them in a cave and rolled great stones in front of the cave's mouth. And that those stones remain to this day. That is a foreshadow of Jesus Christ. But it also shows you the dying God concept. The Antichrist has hung from a tree. He's received a wound in his head. That's why his right eye is put out. And when John sees that beast in Revelation 13, that eye or that wound in his head gets healed and he's brought back to life again. And that's who Odin is. Odin is a picture of the Antichrist hanging himself. He's cursed. He's got a wound in his head. He is the dying God and he awaits a resurrection one of these days. By the way, let me show you a picture of the Yggdrasil, the sacred tree of the gods. See this? I'm going to make some people very angry. And I want you to know that I'm saying to this to you in love. I've been approached by several people over the flat earth issue. I want you to know I love you. But you're wrong. The Bible tells you that you're wrong. There is no place in the Bible that declares that the earth is this flat disk surrounded by an ice wall. There is, however, Norse mythology. Here's the Yggdrasil, and here is Asgard surrounded by an ice wall, flat. The rising and setting sun are both specifically mentioned in Scripture. And the flat earth does not have a rising and a setting sun. It doesn't. It doesn't work, people. It's not real. You can see that every morning if you'll get up and watch the sunrise. And if there's clouds in the skies, in the horizon, you can clearly see that the sun is shining and reflecting off the underneath of those clouds. Meaning that the sun's position is actually lower than the position of those clouds. You see the sun shining through the bottom of those clouds, not through the top, through the bottom. That shows you that the sun is actually rising up from below the horizon and from below the level of where those clouds are. That's what that tells you. And that's what the Bible says. From the rising of the sun to the going down of the same. And a flat earth does not have a rising and a going down sun. And I don't believe it. And I won't believe it because it contradicts the Scripture. And it contradicts what I see every day and night. So I can't go with that. The earth is a circle in every way that a circle is. That's what the earth is. And I'm just asking, if you want to believe it, believe it. But quit accusing everybody that doesn't believe it of being unchristian and not and being false brethren and not believing the Bible. Quit accusing them of that, because it's not true. The concept of this did not come from the Bible. It came from things like this. Here's your flat earth model right here. This is Asgard. It's not the earth. Back to Asgardia. Did you happen to see the logos? The Eye of Ra here, the hexagon. Now, I want you to look at this. Here's a six. Here's a six. And here's one here. You see a setup, people. You see something being set up for it. People are going, oh, yeah, I want that. I want to live like in space. I want to be like, you know, the Robinson family, like Lost in Space. I want to live up there. I want to build a nest among the stars. And that's another issue that people write me about, is that they believe that there's this like iron dome over the earth, and it's impossible to go into space. That is not true, and it's not true biblically. God is the one who said that. Here's your Eye of Ra right here. What? And by the way, what is that? That's like the symbol of the Antichrist. If you people are falling for this, people, I'm telling you, when the beast comes and the false prophet brings him in and starts marking everybody, nobody is going to be going, ah, I don't want the beast. I don't want the mark. Ah, get away from me. Don't put that on my hand. Ah, he put it in my hand and I didn't want it. Nobody's going to be doing that. Look at the number of Asgardians already. And they haven't even put a nut and a bolt in space for this thing. 531,000 voluntary applications accepted, 4,492 new applications as of today. And the numbers are climbing. I don't think anybody joining the League of the Beast, getting a mark in their right hand or forehead, is ever going to be had a gun pointed to their head saying, you either take this thing, boy, or I'm going to blow your brains all over the cement. Now, what's it going to be? I don't think anybody's going to do that. I think they're going to go, will you please put that in me, please? I want to be a god. I want to be an Asgardian. Will you please? I want that, please. They're going to be begging for it. The false prophet causes everyone to receive the mark. This is, from what I can see, part of the cause. It's just part of the cause. Let's get it in their minds. Let's get them lusting after it. Let's get them wanting it. Let's get them wanting the space cars. There's another aspect to this. There's a series coming on the National Geographic Channel. I'm going to try to catch it. I'm going to try to record it on my DVR and watch it. And it's about Elon Musk and his company, SpaceX, I think is what it is. Jeff Bezos, Amazon.com, is in the space business. The guy that owns Virgin Air, he's in the space business. NASA's nothing. NASA, they're not even trying hard anymore. The privatization of space is now in full gear, and you don't have this massive government entity called NASA doing flip anymore. They're all contracting their work out, so they don't have to do anything. And it's Elon Musk and Jeff Bezos and Richard, whatever his name is. They're the ones running the show here of the space business. Well, they're talking about building a permanent city on Mars. You think Asgardia is high? Mars is higher. You see what I'm saying? Whenever someone builds a building this tall, some guy wants to build his this tall. And when he builds his this tall, some guy wants to come and build one taller than his. So let's build us a new nation in space. And then you've got somebody going, oh, really? You're just going to what? Circle the earth? Every day, we're going to Mars, Jack. Okay? We're going right past the moon. We're going to Mars. And they're talking about a permanent city settlement on Mars. Did you see, I can't remember who it is, in the movie The Martian. He colonizes Mars just with himself. He builds his own city on Mars. He's the first Martian. And we're talking about sending people to the planet Mars. People that, when they announced this, they said, we're going to have a contest, and we're going to send 40 people to Mars. I don't remember how many they said. We're going to send them all to Mars. They're going to live there. They're going to grow crops, and they're going to do scientific things, and they're going to have a permanent city place on Mars. And oh, by the way, they're going to die there because there's no way in the world we can bring them back. We'll take the first people and we'll go through the list. And within days, 100,000 people signed up and they said, we want to go. They voluntarily said, we don't care if we die there. We got to die someplace. We don't care if we die there. Send us to Mars. So you've got people all over the world that have this thing in them that wants, as soon as the devil said to Eve, you shall be as gods, there it was. She automatically wants to elevate herself to a higher state, a higher form, and live in a higher place. That's the nature of mankind, people. By the way, this was sent to me today. Take a look at this. It's one of those healthcare trucks. You see it at hospitals. Choose transformation. I got to play some music. Choose transformation. See the little hexagons here in packages of three? That's basically, it's a 666 is what it is. And I'm like, people think I'm nuts. People think I'm crazy because I go around taking pictures of hexagons everywhere. I'm not the crazy one. I'm the one that's like, and you're with me. Because like you're going, look at there, there's hexagons over there. Take a look at here. See those hexagons there? See those three sixes together? Dun, dun, dun. You're taking pictures of them and you're sending them to me. This came in today. Let's go to the Bible. Got to think Bible. Genesis 11. The whole earth was of one language and of one speech. Everybody sprechens the same Deutsch. Everybody did. And it came to pass, and by the way, I had a book, a lady we had in our church years ago, she was taking a course, she was going back to college, and one of the courses that she took was on language science. And she had a course book on etymology. And in this course book, I'm not kidding you, she said, you got to read this, Pastor. Whoever wrote the course book, the textbook, said that the linguists and the etymologists and all of the people who study things like this all agree that all of the languages of the world actually derive from a mother tongue, and they date that mother tongue to about 5,000 years ago. And I went, well, that was the wrong button. Hang on here. There we go. Thank you. And I'm going, that's when the Tower of Babel happened, about 5,000 years ago, about 5 grand ago. Okay. Flood was about 1,000 years after Adam. And right after the flood, here they are in the plain of Shinar, and they're all speaking the same language. And then all of a sudden now, they don't speak the same language anymore. And that was about 5,000 years ago. The whole earth was of one language and of one speech. It came to pass as they journeyed from the east that they found a plain in the land of Shinar, and they dwelt there. And they said one to another, go to, let us make brick and burn them throughly. They had brick for stone, and slime they had for mortar. And they said, go to, let us build us a city and a tower whose top may reach unto heaven. That was their goal right there. Let's build us a city. whose top may reach into heaven, Asgardia, the space nation, the city in amongst the stars, is what they wanted to do all the way back then. Go to, let us build us a city and a tower whose top may reach into heaven. Let us make us a name, lest we be scattered abroad upon the face of the whole earth. They want to become, here's what they want to do now. They want to become, we're not Americans, we're not Canadians, we're not Chinese, Japanese, Taiwanese, dirty knees. We're not anything. We're not Africans. We're not Europeans. We are now Asgardians. We live in the city that is on high. We live in the city of the gods. It's happening, folks. This Bible, Solomon said it in Ecclesiastes chapter 1, that which was is that which shall be. There is no new thing under the sun. There isn't. What they were doing 5,000 years ago in the plain of Shinar, this is exactly, your Bible is the guidebook. It is the trail guide for the days that we're living in. It has all of the answers. It has the blueprint, the roadmap, the animal trail signs. It has everything in it that you and I need to interpret the events that are going on these days. And I am not talking about including the book of Enoch in that either. I don't believe in that nonsense. There may be etched into some of the places in the book of Enoch something that has some sort of historical reference to it. But there is nothing in the book of Enoch that I trust. And I hear people talking about, ooh, the book of Enoch has messianic prophecies in it. It has prophecies about the Messiah. Ooh. And I'm looking at that and I'm going, if it's not in the Bible, then I think it's going to prophesy the wrong Messiah. I don't trust it. You shouldn't trust it. Our forefathers didn't trust it. That's why they didn't put it in the Bible. You say, well, Jude trusted it. He quoted from it. No, he didn't. 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 Jude did not say, as it is written in the book of Enoch, the Lord cometh with 10,000 of it. That's not what Jude said. Jude said, and Enoch, the seventh from Adam, said, the Lord cometh with 10,000 of his saints. He never said it was written in a book called Enoch. Never said that. He said that Enoch said it. Well, then how did Jude know? Holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost told Jude, write this down. Enoch said this. Enoch really said that? That's so cool. It's like nobody knows Enoch now, and I'm going to write down what Enoch said. By the Holy Ghost, he told him what he said. I don't trust the book of Enoch, and I don't think you should either. I trust only the Word of God because I know that everything that's in this book is relevant to what's going to come to pass and what is coming to pass right now. And when it comes to anything else, I don't care if it's Enoch. I don't care if it's Nostradamus. I don't care who it is. I don't trust it, and I don't think you should either. Isaiah 14, consider this. Consider man having the spirit of Lucifer in him. Paul said it in Ephesians 2. That just happened to be my Bible reading today, Ephesians 1 and 2. And I was reminded of that. That you and I used to follow the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. And here's Lucifer and his spirit. And I submit to you that the spirit of Lucifer exists in the hearts and minds of all of those who are lost, who are not saved. The Holy Spirit is what guides us through the Word of God. It then is Lucifer who is guiding humanity. He was the one showed up in the Garden of Eden and said, think about it, Eve. Think about what it would be like if you became a god like I am. Boom. Just like, wow. I can become a god if I eat this fruit. And that's what she did. She went for it. So here's the spirit of Lucifer now. And I want you to think of this being in mankind. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which didst weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven. Boom, there it is right there. I will ascend into heaven. Man has been doing that. He's been trying it. Even Da Vinci, Leonardo da Vinci, was trying to invent ways that man could fly through the air in some sort of machine. That was what, 1400s? He was trying to devise a machine, and there's no doubt Da Vinci was a genius. He just didn't quite figure it all out yet. But man has been trying to fly or trying to get elevated or try to put himself on high as he possibly could since the fall. He's been since man fell, he's been trying to rise up higher and higher. I will ascend into heaven. So you have late 50s, the 60s, the 70s. You have the space race. Sputnik, Yuri Gagarin. You have, what are these names here? John Glenn. You have, I can't think, man. The original seven, Mercury 7 astronauts. One of my favorite movies is The Right Stuff. I mean, I did. I grew up in the 70s. These astronauts were like the coolest guys on the planet because of what they were able to do, what they were able to, how they were able to navigate these machines from the Earth, from Earth's orbit to the moon and back. It was just absolutely amazing what they did. But it's basically man ascending into the heavens. Now he wants to build a city up there. Now they want to go to Mars. Mars won't be, if the Lord tarries this coming, Mars won't be the stopping point. Be one of the moons of Jupiter. It'll be beyond that. We'll go to Saturn. We'll be able to go to the other stars. I mean, just like on Star Trek. That's, man's not going to rest staying where he is. We have Explorer built into us. We want to find out what else there is. That's mankind. I will ascend into heaven. But then man says, I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. You see that? I will be like who? The most low? Nah, he's already like that. I'll be like the most high. I will be like God himself. John Denver was being trained into the newage by Werner Erhard, Erhard Seminary Training. John Denver told Life magazine when he made it big, they did a full article on him, and John Denver basically said, I believe that I will become God one of these days. Well, he didn't quite make it when he crashed his plane into the ocean. Just didn't quite make it, okay? Man wants to become not just a god, the God. Man wants to ascend into the heavens. Look at Amos chapter 9. Though they dig into hell, thence shall mine hand take them. And you know what man's doing? in Amos chapter 9. In fact, let's go and let's draw a circle around this verse, all right? Let's go to Amos chapter 9. Let's read verse 1, and you'll find out why man is digging into hell and why he's climbing up to heaven. Oh, let's see here. Ezekiel, Daniel, Hosea, Joel, Amos, Obadiah, Jonah. If you get to Obadiah, go back. We're going to be in Obadiah too. Amos chapter 9. I saw the Lord standing upon the altar. This is verse 1. And he said, smite the lintel of the door that the post may shake, and cut them in the head, all of them. And I will slay the last of them with the sword. And he that fleeth of them shall not flee away, and he that escapeth of them shall not be delivered. Though they dig into hell, thence shall my hand take them. And what's happening is man is trying to climb down into the earth, and then he's trying to ascend up on high in hopes that he can get away from God's hand. Think about what all these billionaires are doing with their money. They're digging into the earth and they're building these rich, swanky, very expensive underground bunkers because they all have the feeling that something bad is going to break loose here before too long. And they're the rich, powerful people, and they're going to escape the zombie apocalypse. And they're going to dig down into the earth in order to escape it. And God said, though they dig into hell, then shall my hand take them. Doesn't matter if you hide in the rocks and cover yourself in the cave and get in your bunker. You're going to be found. You will not be able to escape the wrath and the vengeance of Almighty God. I don't care how deep down into the ground you dig. In fact, the deeper down you dig, the closer you are to where you're going to end up to begin with. And the higher you go into the heavens, that just means the faster you're going to fall. And I really think that the spirit that is leading these people wanting to go to Mars, these people wanting to build Asgard, this city in space, these people that are building these underground bunkers, the spirit that is guiding them is sort of telling them, if you leave the earth and you're under the ground, then when God pours out his wrath on the earth, you won't be there. Ha, 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 you'll escape it. I really do. I think down deep in their heart, in places they can't even understand, they're escaping something that they think is going to happen. If we can just escape Earth, then it won't happen to us. I don't know if you ever read Ray Bradbury's The Martian Chronicles. If you were like me, when I was in, I don't remember if I was in high school, junior high, or what, but we read in a literature class, The Martian Chronicles, and then our teacher wheeled this big Magnavox TV in on a stand and had one of these great big huge video cassette players. That was like technology, man. It's like, we're going, look at that. They're like recorded it on that tape thing. Wow, that is so cool. Never saw that before. She recorded The Martian Chronicle. They made a movie out of it with Rock Hudson. And basically, once man started colonizing Mars, there was this war on Earth, nuclear war, and it killed everybody on the Earth. So now the humans are on Mars, and they're going, I guess we'll just kind of build up Mars now. Now we're Martians. Now we're here. We escaped the nuclear war that was on the Earth. So I guess we'll be okay then. Okay? You see it? You get it? You see what's going on here? This idea of digging into the earth or jumping up into the heavens or opening a portal so we could go to the other side of the universe. That way God won't catch us when his wrath is poured out. It's not going to work. God said, though they dig into hell, thence shall mine hand take them. Though they climb up to heaven, thence will I bring them down. It wasn't NASA's conspiracy to make everybody think that we got up, you know, circling the earth. It wasn't NASA's conspiracy that came up with this. God foresaw man climbing to heaven. God saw it, knew that man was going to do it. Wasn't NASA a conspiracy theory? This theory stretches far beyond NASA. It is man's endeavor in escaping God's wrath. Thence will I bring them down, and though they hide themselves in the top of Carmel, I will search and take them out thence, and though they be hid from my sight in the bottom of the sea, thence will I command the serpent, and he shall bite them. Whoa, that needs some music on that one. Now look at Obadiah. Okay? Look at Obadiah. Look at what he said. The pride of thine heart hath deceived thee, thou that dwellest in the clefts of the rock, whose habitation is high, that saith in his heart, who shall bring me down to the ground? Though thou exalt thyself as the eagle. Houston, psst, tranquility base here. Psst, the eagle has landed. Think about it. The Apollo 11 patch was an eagle landing on the moon, clutching a branch in his hand. What was he going to do with that branch? He's going to build a nest. Where did they get that from? The Bible. Though thou exalt thyself as the eagle, and though thou set thy nest among the stars, thence will I bring thee down, saith the Lord. There is no impassable iron dome over the upper atmosphere of the earth. God himself foresaw man deciding that he was going to build a nest among the stars. God saw it, said, if you do that, I will bring you down, saith the Lord. So is this possible? It not only is possible, what happened? Something, oh, there you go. Now you can see me. I just looked at my screen and I'm going, they've been looking at a blank screen all this time. What's going on? I don't know how long that's been going on. Anyway, that's a little embarrassing. Anyway, though thou exalt thyself as the eagle, and though thou set thy nest among the stars, thence will I bring thee down, saith the Lord. By the way, did you see this movie? And if you didn't, don't. It is very crude. The language is awful. Okay? Damon, Jodie Foster, Elysium. You know what Elysium is? Elysium is like Roman mythology. It's like where everybody goes to heaven. And so the rich people of the earth have built themselves this pentagram star city. And the rich people of the earth live up here, while all the poor people on the earth live in squalor and poverty, and they're governed by, in fact, they're governed by the people up here. And the people who live, and here's something weird. Everybody on the earth can look up in the sky and see the star pentagram city up there, and they're going, oh, I wish I could go there. I wish I could go to the star city, because in the star city, Elysium, they have a machine up there that scans your body, and anything that's wrong with you, it heals you instantly. And Matt Damon's character is like the Savior. He rises up to Elysium. He's the dying God. He rises up to Elysium and he releases all of these robots and shuttles that bring the healing machines down to the earth so that everybody on the earth gets healed and they can live forever, just like the people up in the star. The people on the earth basically become the same kind of gods as the people who live up here. That's what Elysium is all about. I just saved you, you know, $10 renting it or getting it from Apple or iTunes or whatever. But that's what that movie's all about. And it's a mockery. Here is the new heaven and the new earth. I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth away. And there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men. And he will dwell with them and be his people. And God himself shall be with them and be their God. And this new Jerusalem, rather than being built by man, is built by God. And it's absolute perfection. It is the place where there is no more tears. There is no more sorrow. There is no more heartache. There is no more disease. There is no more death. And it's not ruled over by the elite, and all of us little people have to do what we're told. That's not how it is. All of us have a new heart and a new body. And it's not like we have to do everything God says. We just do the commandments of God. Can you imagine that, people? Not having the bodies that you and I have, that have disease, sickness, pain, arthritis, bodies that don't die, bodies that don't suffer depression, bodies where devils cannot oppress us because, number one, our bodies are perfect, and number two, all the devils are in the lake of fire. Bodies that don't desire to sin every day. That's what God is going to give us in New Jerusalem. And I will choose New Jerusalem over Asgardia. In fact, I already have. I've already made my choice, and I'm not backing down from the choice that God has given me. In Revelation 21:10, he carried me away in the spirit to a great and high mountain and showed me that great city, the holy Jerusalem, ascending out of heaven from God. Asgardia has to ascend up from the... Where are they going to get the stuff to build it? They're going to get it from earth. They're not going to catch floating metal pieces in space and use them. Everything about Asgardia has to come up from the earth. And here is the exact opposite. Here is a city that comes down from God. That great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God, having the glory of God. Her light was likened to a stone most precious, even like a jasper stone, clear as crystal. And had a wall great and high, and had 12 gates, and at the gates 12 angels, and the names written thereon, which are the names of the 12 tribes of the children of Israel. Do you see that? That's where Asgardia got it from. It's like the opposite. They're going to be ruled over by beast, star, angels, evil ones, devils. And had a wall great high. I already read that. Let's see here. On the east 3 gates, on the north 3 gates, on the south 3 gates, on the west 3 gates. The wall of the city had 12 foundations, and in them the names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. And he that talked with me had a golden reed to measure the city and the gates thereof and the wall thereof. The city lieth four square. By the way, let me say this. Don't let anybody tell you that New Jerusalem is a pyramid, because it's not. That's a setup. A city that lieth four square. A pyramid is not a four square. It's a four triangle. It is. I'm just telling you what it is. A pyramid is a four triangle shape. New Jerusalem is not four triangles. It's four squares. That's what your Bible says. It lieth four square. And the length is as large as the breadth, and he measured the city with the reed, 12,000 furlongs. The length and the breadth and the height of it are equal. There's your four square right there. It's 12,000 this way, 12,000 this way, 12,000 this way, straight up. That's New Jerusalem. Not a pyramid. Who put that in? Clarence Larkin, Dispensational Truth. The book that he wrote has a whole section about how the Great Pyramid is a prophecy of the coming of the Lord, and he missed it. He got it wrong, and he said the Great Pyramid is New Jerusalem, and it has the capstone, which Jesus is the capstone. And I went, I'm sorry, that is not what the Bible says. My soundboard just crashed. I've played the music of the and it didn't work, so I had to include it in. There, I'll reset it. There we go. Now it'll work. Here we go. Ready? 1, 2, 3. All right, got it. Let's see here. Let's go down here. And verse 21, and the 12 gates were 12 pearls. That's where you get the idea of the pearly gates. The 12 gates were 12 pearls. Every city was of one pearl. Boy, that must have been one big, mean oyster. The 12 gates were 12 pearls, and every several gate was of one pearl, and the street of the city was pure gold, as it were transparent. Can you imagine gold that is pure? It's see-through, transparent like glass. Isn't that something? Man, that is amazing. That's the city that I want to go to, people. That's the place that I want to be for all of eternity. Asgard nonsense. Now, I want to take just a little time. Let's get into our Bibles. Because of that hexagon, I've been wanting to do this for a little while and just explain number 6 and its ramifications, and we'll do that for a few minutes, and I will bid thee farewell for today. So let's open our Bibles. Let's go to Genesis chapter 1 first. Genesis chapter 1. Let's get an understanding of what this number 6 is. Why they keep using hexagons everywhere. And I saw one, I had it the other day. It was like three perfect hexagons all like glued together. And I'm going, that's what you see here, 666. That's what you saw on that Asgardian website. Go there, take a look at it. You have three sixes there emblazoned across there. What is that? That tells you something. You see, whereas God plainly reveals things in his word. You just read it. It's like there. It means what it says. There's no meaning to anything in the Bible. It means what it says. Every place means, if the Bible says the beast had seven heads, guess what? He's got seven heads. Well, he doesn't really have seven heads. That was an allegory. The seven heads really represent something. And I'm just going, well, they may represent something, but he's got seven heads. There's no mystery here. He's got seven heads, 10 horns, 10 crowns on the horns. I get it. Whereas the Bible reveals things, symbols, and the name of symbols are to conceal a thing. They're to be there in front of you. It's like hidden in plain sight. And you may wonder at why they're using these symbols, but they're not going to tell you. I'm going back through Albert Pike's Morals and Dogma, and I reread this section where he said, symbols always take on an exoteric and an esoteric understanding. They always have a double meaning. The exoteric is what Brent Morris comes out on the History Channel and says, this is what the symbols of Freemasonry mean. It doesn't mean anything more than that. You're to circumscribe your actions. That's what the Square and Compass means, and we don't really worship Satan. That's the exoteric meaning. Of course, Brent Morris is going to tell everybody that on the History Channel. You know, the History Channel did all these things on Freemasonry and had Brent Morris, who's associated with the House of the Temple Lodge in Washington, D.C. He's like a writer and a historian for Freemasonry, and he's this real smart-aleck kind of rude guy. I would hate to try to be friends with this guy. But he makes fun of people who say, oh, there's hidden secrets in Freemasonry. And he's basically, he lies to everybody. He gets paid to lie to people like, you know, politicians and stuff. But there's an exoteric meaning. That's what Albert Pike said. And an esoteric meaning. Eso meaning inner circle. The exoteric meaning is what we tell you it means. Because we can't tell you what it really means. The esoteric meaning is the hidden true meaning. And I promise you, not even most, if any, 33rd degree Masons really understand the true nature of the symbols of Freemasonry, like the square and compass and what the altar represents and what the apron is, and so they don't understand that. They only believe what they've been told by the Grand Master of the Lodge. So some would say, well, Hoggy, how is it you know? I read the Bible. God is the one who said, I reveal the secret things. If there's a secret, I reveal it. If man tries to cover anything, I uncover it. If man tries to hide something, I unhide it. And so when you read the Bible and you believe whatever Masonry says about their symbols, they're only going to allude to it. They're going to allegorize it. And then you read the Bible and you go, okay, I know what that is now. I get it. What's the meaning of a hexagon, hexagram? Three sixes in a row. What's the meaning behind these? What is the number six? Genesis chapter 1, verse 24. And God said, let the earth bring forth the living creature after his kind, cattle and creeping thing, and beast of the earth after his kind. And it was so. Beast of the earth. So what did God make on day six? First thing he made was beast. And then verse 25, God made the beast of the earth after his kind and cattle after their kind and everything that creepeth upon the earth after his kind, and God saw that it was good. In verse 26, and God said, make man in our image after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over the cattle and over all the earth and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So on day six, God created beast and man. And it's interesting, he created the beast first, then he created the man, and he put the man in dominion over the beast. So the man now rules. He's in charge. In a week and a half from now, my right to take the life of a deer is given to me in the scripture. Because I've been criticized this, usually by Europeans, but some Americans, they criticize me. Oh, that's so cruel. Why don't you get meat from a meat market, and that's where no animals are killed. Seriously. God gave us dominion over the fish of the sea. Which means Jesus, when he went and found the fishermen and turned them into disciples, he didn't say, what are you killing those fish for? Don't you know that's murder? Those fish didn't harm you. You're taking their life. He didn't ever say that. We kill cattle, goats, sheep, chickens, fish, possum, raccoons, squirrels, I like squirrel, rabbit, deer. We get them out of the woods. We shoot them up in trees, not deer. We raise them and kill them and eat them. God gave us dominion over those creatures. So save your liberalism and your people for the ethical treatment of animals. Save that speech because I don't want to hear it. Okay? But anyway, God gave man dominion over the beast. When we go to Revelation, let's go there. Something changes. Something happens. God is angry with man. So what does God do? God gives beast dominion over man. Look at it. In verse 2, the beast which I saw was likened to a leopard, and his feet were as the feet of a bear, and his mouth as the mouth of a lion. And the dragon gave him his power and his seat and great authority. God now is going to give a beast dominion over man. And it says in verse 4, and they worshiped the dragon which gave power unto the beast, and they worshiped the beast, saying, who is like unto the beast, and who is able to make war with him? Nobody can defeat this beast. Nobody can. Nobody can subdue him. Nobody can tame him. Nobody can override his authority. God is going to give him authority over everybody on the earth. And by the way, it says he's going to make war against the saints. In some ways, he already is. And when you look at verse 16, we notice that the false prophet, he causeth all, let's count, both small and great, rich and poor. So far we have four. Free and bond, six types of people. That number means something. Small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their foreheads, that no man might buy or sell. Had the mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name. Here's wisdom. Let him that hath understanding count the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man. Notice that. You have beast here and man here, both created on day six, and both are associated with this number. It is the number of the beast, and yet it is the number of the man. And his number is 666. So when you see these three hexagons together, you're dealing with the number of the beast. It's done in veiled form. Logos. Logos everywhere. Walmart's Spark logo. It has six like little sun rays coming out of it. Walmart took the idea of a divine spark, captured it into symbol form, and Walmart's logo basically is a six. And I don't know how many times I've gone into Walmart and saw three signs together with that logo on it. Are they doing this with knowledge? I don't know that everybody is. I mean, I certainly don't think the Walmart employees are walking around going, I'm serving the beast. I'm serving the beast. I don't think that. But somebody up in corporate, I think somebody's got to know what they're doing. And if not, It's done merely because the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, that spirit is moving mankind in that direction. Let's go to Genesis chapter 6. Genesis chapter 6. We're going to get an expanded idea of what this number means. It has several references. One is that of preparation. And in Genesis 6, you see the preparations made for the ark that saved Noah and all the families of the earth, or all animals of the earth. But in Genesis chapter 6, you have a story. It's a story. I've been criticized over this idea. People saying, you nuts, you Mormon, you. There is no place in the Bible that says the sons of God are angels. Not true. Not true. It's not true. These sons of God are identified in the Old Testament as angels, the angelic realm. And even when you imply the New Testament idea of it, which is us, sons of God, we have been adopted into the family of God. We are going to be as the angels in heaven, and we are going to be, Paul said, we're going to be lights shining in the darkness of this world. Literally, the stars. That's what he promised the seed of Abraham. They should be as the stars of heaven without number. So it doesn't matter if you look at it from the Old Testament or the New Testament perspective, you're still dealing with the same thing. And here you have the sons of God. It came to pass when men began to multiply on the face of the earth, daughters were born unto them, that the sons of God saw that they were fair, and they took them wives of all which they chose. And the Lord said, my spirit shall not always strive with man, for that he also is flesh. Yet his days shall be 120 years. There were giants in the earth in those days and also after that. Where did the giants come from? You see, anybody that criticizes the idea that the sons of God were fallen evil angels, they have no explanation for these sons of God. And the Bible specifically says that the giants were the offspring of the sons of God and the daughters of men. If these sons of God were no more than the lineage of Seth, how is it that the lineage of Seth marrying who they say the daughters of Cain, how is it that the joining together of these two groups, how is it that those made men who were in what we know for sure in excess of 9 cubits tall? How does that happen? 13, 14 feet tall. How does that happen? I haven't seen it happen yet. You don't see it happening now. You want to criticize that? Offer an explanation. Tell me how you have a race of men that had so taken over the entire land of Canaan that the Israelites, upon seeing them, said, we're not going in there. The giants, the sons of Anak, are in there, and all those other giant races that we know about, they're in there, and there's no way in the world we're going in there. Tell me how that works. Tell me how the sons of God, who you say are the lineage of Seth, and how they married the daughters of Cain. And it also says, and look at verse 4. There were giants in the earth in those days, and also after that, when the sons of God came into the men, they bare children to them. The same became mighty men which were of old, men of renown. And it says there were giants in the earth in those days, and also after that, meaning after the flood. So here's my question. Cain's lineage was destroyed in the flood. if the daughters of men were the Cain, how did the sons of God marry them after the flood? How were there giants after the flood? It doesn't work. And it's not true, and it's not spoken of in the scriptures anywhere that the sons of God were the lineage of daughters of men, were the evil lineage of Cain. That was made up. The sons of God were the celestial bodied evil angels that committed a crime called folly. And for that, God took them and he wrapped them up in chains and bound them in prison in the lower parts of the earth. And because they had a celestial body, Paul said in 1 Corinthians 15, that means that they had a seed, because to every seed, his own body. And we go to the book of Daniel. Daniel chapter 2. Because the question is something like that ever going to happen again? Let's see what Daniel has to say. In Daniel chapter 2, the fourth kingdom, verse 40. The fourth kingdom shall be strong as iron, for as much as iron breaketh in pieces and subdueth all things, and as iron that breaketh all these shall it break in pieces and bruise. Whereas thou sawest the feet and toes, part of potter's clay and part of iron, the kingdom shall be divided, but there shall be in it of the strength of iron, for as much as thou sawest the iron mixed with miry clay. And as the toes of the feet were part of iron and part of clay, so the kingdom shall be partly strong and partly broken. And whereas thou sawest iron mixed with miry clay, they shall mingle themselves with the seed of men. They shall mingle themselves once again into the genetic bloodline of man. What that's use? Man becomes beast. Or part beast, half beast, whatever. But their seed mingled with man's seed. It's going to happen. This is what the Bible tells us. And that's what that number six references. And that's why the beast who is a man, who is a beast, that's why his number is 666. Okay? That's what the Bible says. I can't back away from it. Good to be with you today. God bless you. Hope you've enjoyed it. You've been a blessing to me. Continue to pray for us. Support us if you can. Lots of expenses going into the radio station. God leads you to help out. We would appreciate it. We'll see you on the Lord's Day Sunday. Come join with us. We'll see you.